You'll have to be listening to me for the next 3 weeks, but hopefully it will be of interest and you will get something out of it. The Lord put it on my heart, I guess, a while back, and I asked if I could, you know, put something together and talk about it, and Lynn had suggested the previous 3 weeks, and thankfully I couldn't do it the previous 3 weeks because I ended up in the hospital and surgery and all kinds of mess. And so now I was just, this morning I told my wife, I said, I finally feel like myself again today for the first time in 3 weeks. So Lord has blessed me to be able to be here and go through this with you. But I wanted to spend some time on what I'm calling 3:16, and it's a little different than what you would anticipate. It's going to be focused mainly on a few different things. One, I don't know how many of you have ever wondered how chapters and verses came to be in the Bibles as they are today. So we're going to look at that a little bit. We're going to go through a little bit of numbers today. You'll have to forgive me. I am a CPA, CFO, so I have numbers in my blood, but I'll try to make them a little bit entertaining. But we're going to go through a little bit of chapters, verses, and then we will go into, next week, we will spend time in John 3:16, and then the following week, the final week, we're going to actually look at what the Bible has to say in all the other 3:16s. Which I feel like is, once you go through and you see those, you'll actually see how all of it weaves together and makes a really interesting story and message to tell. Because it actually, to me, we all know that John 3:16 is probably, well, not probably, is the most recognized scripture in the world. So what better way to kick off a discussion with somebody about the Bible, about Christ, than to use 3:16. So anyway, we will go through all of that through these lessons. Hopefully you can see this okay. So today we're going to talk about chapters and verses. We're going to talk about some of the fun facts that go along with that, some figures from the Bible, and we'll look at a historical perspective of how the Bible was organized into chapters and verses. One of the things that I kind of like to do from a personal standpoint is I enjoy studying the scriptures, but I also enjoy the historical perspective that goes along with the scriptures and how they kind of work together on the Bible and what was going on during those times and how they kind of all fit together, kind of like life is going on for us now. Life was going on for them back then too, so I like to examine that. Next week, like I said, we will dive heavy into John 3:16 and look at that. And then the last week, again, we'll talk about what else does the Bible have to say about 3:16. So the series is titled 3:16 mainly for chapter 3, verse 16. So this is not Santa Claus. Vicky said it looks like Santa Claus. I'm sorry. It was supposed to be Noah looking at his ark and figuring out how things went, okay? But when I cropped it, it kind of came out Santa Claus. So so a little bit of humor there. But so chapters in the Bible, there are 929 of them in the Old Testament. I'm sure if I asked you that, you all would have known that by heart, right? I definitely would not have. New Testament, 260. The shortest chapter in the Bible is Psalms 117, two verses. So, pretty simple little chapter there if you wanted to memorize a whole chapter. the longest chapter might take a little longer to memorize. It's Psalm 119, and it's 176 verses. so, if you really want to dive into memorization, and you can memorize that one, you've accomplished something. But I'd advise starting with the two-verse one. So there's also five books in the Bible that are one chapter only. Anybody? There's one. We'll just make your guess, and we'll reveal the answer here in a second. So who else wants to toss one out? Okay? That's actually both right. So, and Philemon, there you go. Obadiah would have been the other one that we didn't get. But five books in the Bible to just have one chapter. Now, on the verses side of things, there's a little bit more. 23,144 of them in the Old Testament and 7,938 in the New Testament. Now, depending on translations and all of that, you might come up with a little bit different. This is information that's coming straight from the original Hebrew and Greek text, and we'll see more of that in a minute, but that's a lot of verses. The shortest verse, obviously, I think most of us could have gotten that one. Jesus wept in John 11:35. Anybody know the longest verse? Esther 8:9 is 80 words long. So that's the longest verse in the Bible. The middle verse in the Bible is in Psalms 102. Now, these are going to be little interesting little tidbits, and they come from, you know, not just Christians, but generally the 10 most recognizable chapters in the Bible of all people. If you went up to anybody on the street and you said, hey, give me one of the most recognized chapters in the Bible, they might spit these out. And I'm sure you might have a few of them in mind. Obviously, Genesis 1, a lot of people would know about the creation. Genesis 37, Joseph and his coat of many colors. And again, the reason why I kind of throw these in there is I'm trying to also take the angle of, you know, if you were having a discussion about the Bible with somebody who didn't know anything about it, where would you start? You know, especially if you would start with things that they recognize, right? That they have experienced, whether they believe it or not. They at least know a common denominator of what you are talking to them about. Okay, so the Ten Commandments. There's another one that most people would know what it is. David and Goliath. Daniel in the lion's den. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Again, it's a very well-known chapter. Luke 2. Now, the birth of Jesus, Nativity, Christmas. You know, they may not know that's Luke 2, but a lot of people would recognize that. The resurrection of Jesus in Matthew is another one. And then the conversion of Saul, Paul. And then the last one, obviously, the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. So it's 10 different chapters that most people, again, whether they believe the stories or not, would have heard them. Make sense to everybody? Kind of agree? Feel like there's anything left out? You could throw another idea out there. But these are pulled from universal sources, not just Christian sources. This one, same thing with the verses. The 10 most viewed Bible verses from Bible Gateway. It's the world's most visited website with over 10 billion page views. And these are the 10 highest hit verses that are in the Bible. If for some reason, and you probably will fall asleep as we go through this today, but if you don't and you're interested in this and you want a copy of this, I can get you a copy of this presentation but later. But obviously John 3:16, we know that one is universally known and where we're going to spend a lot of time in this study over the next 3 weeks. Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, is a very recognizable verse. You see it on a lot of walls or plaques, or you see it in our graduation notes. Philippians 4:13, another one, I can do all things through him. You see this on a lot of athletic t-shirts or, you know, lots of things. Romans 8:28, my personal favorite verse in the Bible. All things work for good for those that love the Lord. Psalms 23:4, again, another one. You see this on a lot of memes. You know, I've seen one with with a bunch of police dogs all sitting down and a little cat walking by them, you know. So you see this particular verse, even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, quite a bit. It's a very funny little meme. If you Romans 12, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Psalms 23:6, another very popular one. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me. Psalms 23:1, you see a theme here of Psalms 23. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalms 23:5, another from that same chapter. I mean, there's a lot of people who have memorized Psalms 23 that may or may not know a whole lot about the Bible, but they know Psalms 23. Seek ye first his kingdom of God is another one. So, again, I'm trying to come at this from the angle of what are chapters and verses, number one? What does the world recognize as Bible chapters and verses? How would you have those conversations? But also, historically, where did they come from? Where did chapters and verses come from? And I put this little note on here. I encourage you to do your own research on this, just like the Bereans did in Acts 17, where you hear a subject taught on. Don't just listen to the person who's teaching it. Go and study things for yourself. Go and find and back up and research things on your own. You know, I enjoy talking about things, but I'm not an expert. I just like research and pulling things together and being able to stand in front of you and let you know about it, and then hopefully you'll go into your daily lives and look for it for yourself. But these two little links right here are quick little couple of little videos that kind of dive into where chapters and verses came from. So if this works right, we will. Good.
Fast back. Chapters and verses were not a part of the Bible when it was written.
Go away.
I know. Crazy, right? Like when the Apostle Paul wrote his letters, he wrote actual letters. Letters that did not include chapters and verses, because that's not natural. That's kind of weird.
Can you see that okay?
I mean, dear mom, chapter 1, verse 1. I miss you. College is hard. Verse 2. Please send money. Verse 3. See you at Thanksgiving. Verse 4. Love your son. Chapters first began to appear around the 13th century, about the same time that universities were invented. University professors discovered that when they referenced the Bible, that the students had no idea what passage they were referencing. So they began to add chapters to the Bibles, but they were not standardized. Until a guy named Stephen Langton came along, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury. He was also a professor of theology. And he came up with a system of chapters that became so popular that we still use them even to this day. Then, in the 16th century, a publisher named Robert Stefanus wanted to publish a version of the Greek New Testament that made it stand out from all the others. So he came up with verses. He did this, apparently, by traveling from Paris to Lyon, which was a distance of about 280 miles, by horseback. That means he traveled by horseback all day, and at nighttime, he read through the New Testament and added verses as he went. It paid off because the verses that he used are still standard in our Bibles today. So what are the pros and cons to having chapters and verses in the Bible? Well, on the pro side, it makes the Bible easy to reference. Secondly, on the con side, it turns the Bible into a reference book. I mean, seriously, instead of reading it like letters or poetry or narrative, we read it like a dictionary, like a phone book. This is why I decided to start a petition. Dear translators of the NIV and ESV, please take this petition very seriously and remove all chapters and verses from future editions of your Bibles. Thank you. P.S. This is not a joke. Now, I'm just joking. I'm not starting a petition. But if I were, is that the kind of petition you'd sign? What do you think? Do you like having chapters and verses in the Bible? Or do you think we'd benefit from having a few editions of the Bible that had no chapters and verses at all? Let me know in the comment sections below. And as they say in the Bible, shalom. Thanks for watching.
So, I know that went by really fast, and I'll reference a little bit of it here in a minute, but what do you think? Chapters and verses, are they important? Do they help? Are they take away from the story? What do you think? And there's no right answer or wrong answer. It's just, what do you feel about that?
Makes it easier to read.
Definitely. And I can see what he was talking about, you know, if you're trying to teach a class and you start, let's go to Isaiah, and you start talking, and they're like, I have no idea where in Isaiah you are. You know, you'd have to scroll through.
1,000
Yeah. Yeah. So it does very helpful there. Yep.
We could go right to the line that, as a discussion. As far as reading goes, personally, I skip over the chapters and verse. I don't really pay attention to that. I read it as a book. I start, every time Russ mentions something, I'll pull up my phone, I'll read the entire chapter as it's whole, even though he may only be talking about three lines. Mm-hmm. I'm reading it all to get context.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and that's very important, is one of the things that the chapters and verses do is they focus you in narrowly on a particular thing, but you don't necessarily see what's going on around it. We'll spend a lot of time in that next week when we're looking at John 3:16. We're going to look at what goes on in the whole chapter that really brings that home. But that is a very good point. So there is obviously no wrong answer to that, but it is helpful to sometimes look at things without that, and then it's obviously easy to find things. This next one is a little bit longer, but it's going to go into the patterns that are in Scripture that go along with chapters and verses. And again, you know, I encourage you to do your own research, but this was a very interesting thing that I think you will enjoy.
Should chapters and verses be in the Bible? Yes. It's not simply that divisions allow us to quickly find certain passages. It's that God created a numeric structure in Scripture, a framework that allows us to look for patterns and through those patterns to identify the original writings. There are 1,533 verses in Genesis. 1,533 is 3 times 7 times 73. 3, 7, 7, 3. And the first verse of the Bible highlights this pattern, 3, 7, 7, 3. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In Hebrew, it's 7 words, with 3 words here and 3 words here. Each letter of the Hebrew alphabet has a numeric value. So each word in Genesis 1:1 in Hebrew has a numeric value. The total value of all 7 words is 2,701, and 2,701 is 37 times 73. 3773. Also, there are 3 letters here and 7 letters here, and 7 letters here and 3 letters here. The Hebrew words in this middle block are Bara Elohim et Hashamayim ve'et. God created the heavens and Aleph Tav. There are 18 letters in the 5 words. 18 is the numeric value of the Hebrew word chai. Chet 8, yud 10, 8 plus 10 is 18. Chai means life in Hebrew. In Jewish thought, 18 is symbolic of life. God created the heavens, and God created life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Life, the life, everlasting life, the life that is truly life, is found in faith in Jesus. Also, Jesus said, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Then Jesus said, those who believe in him will be in him, and he will be in them. This truth was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Jesus is the Lord. Take refuge in him. In faith, we hide ourselves in him. Now, that is chapter 118 of Psalms and verse 8. Chapter and verse are not here by accident. 118:8. 18 inside 18. It's a symbol. Life within life. You in him, he in you, through faith. Now to the New Testament. The New Testament has 7,938 verses. 7,938 is 3 times 7 times 7 times 3 times 18. 3, 7, 7, 3, and 18. The pattern from Genesis 3, 7, 7, 3, multiplied by 18, the number that symbolizes life. Life in him is revealed in the 7,938 verses of the New Testament. If we didn't have this exact number of verses in the New Testament, then we couldn't be talking about a relevant pattern. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. There is a middle chapter, the shortest chapter of the Bible, Psalm 117, which is a psalm of praise for the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. There are 594 chapters before the middle chapter and 594 chapters after the middle chapter, a total of 1,188 chapters. 18 inside 18. The life of Jesus inside the one who trusts in Jesus. And Jesus is revealed in all the chapters of the Bible. By the way, 1,188 is 66 times 18. 18, life. And life in Jesus is found in the 66 books of the Bible. There are 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. The first book of the New Testament is the Gospel of Matthew. It is the 40th book in the Bible. 40 is a number that shows up in the plain text of the Bible in many places. At the flood, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in Midian, and 40 years leading the Israelites in the desert. Jesus fasted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. The periods of time were literal, but 40 shows up so often in the Bible that we have to conclude that 40 is also symbolic of a period of testing. There are 31,082 verses in the Bible. That's an even number. So in the middle are two verses. They are in Psalm 102. It means that before the middle two verses and after the middle two verses, there are a total of 31,080 verses. 31,080 is 37 times 7 times 3 times 40. 3, 7, 7, 3 times 40. The pattern from Genesis, 3, 7, 7, 3, and the same pattern in the number of verses in the New Testament, 3, 7, 7, 3, but here multiplied by 40. The thousandth chapter of the Bible is John 3. In John 3, Jesus says, you must be born again. Then he makes plain for the first time how someone comes to be born again. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone believing in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's a promise. Meet the condition, be believing in Jesus, and you receive the promise. You will live forever. Important chapter, the 1,000th chapter. There are 999 chapters before the 1,000th chapter, and 189 chapters to the end of the Bible. 999 is 3 times 3 times 3 times 37. 189 is 3 times 3 times 3 times 7. That's a pattern. It confirms the number of chapters in the Bible and confirms the 1,000th chapter. The 66 books of the Bible are in our Bibles in a specific order that was predetermined by God. The chapters of the Bible are there, a specific number in a specific order, predetermined by God. And verses are predetermined by God. Book, chapter, and verse divisions are the framework of the Bible. The numeric patterns in Genesis, patterns that flow into the New Testament, prove that God set up a mathematical structure in the original writings. If there is a book out of place, or if there's a chapter out of place, or if there is a verse out of place, then it will show up in the patterns. The starting point for identifying the original text of the Bible is to see if book, chapter, and verse divisions conform to patterns. If they don't, then something is wrong. Maybe, just maybe, something was added to what was in the original writing. We can find out by examining the numbers. It's not mysticism, it's to verify what's right. Do you see enough to allow yourself to believe that God has sealed the word with an underlying numeric structure? There's more, much more. The Bible is amazing. To check verse totals, go to this website, livinggreekng.org. At the top of the homepage is a tab for resources. It's a drop-down menu. Click on the link to verses in the Bible, and you can download a PDF with the totals, book by book, and all you need to know about the original writings and what's meant to be there. And do share this message. Others need to know this.
Thoughts?
I don't believe in coincidences. I've heard the other side of this. You can make numbers.
You can.
You can spend the numbers anyway.
You can.
To me, the fact that I've been wanting to kind of do this lesson in Genesis. That pattern right there in Genesis 1, the picture, because a letter is a picture. It's also it's a picture. It's also a number. So a letter is a word, is a number. It's just crazy to think about. It's like 40 chess, you know?
That's right. There's just so much in the Bible that if you really dive down into it, that you never really knew was there or you could learn from. And again, I encourage you to do your own research. But it's just very interesting when you start looking at that.
It would be enough just to have the scripture, just to have the words that we can read and that kind of thing, to have the pictures, the numbers, and that kind of thing. In the Bible, it says that God is not the author of confusion. He's the author, he's the creator, he's the order comes from him, basically. And that's kind of what I see in this. I've oftentimes heard 39 chapters in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, knew some of those numbers, but I've never heard any of those patterns at all. That's really
right. And again, it comes in helpful if you're trying to talk with or just get to know somebody who's interested in the Bible but doesn't have any kind of background into, somebody just wrote that on paper. Yeah.
Is this where they came up with the secret code that's in the Bible?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. But there is definitely patterns all throughout Scripture.
There was a movie that had Jodie Foster in it, and they were listening in for Interstellar Life, right?
Yeah, Contact.
Right.
Contact.
And they started to get these prime numbers coming in. And just to think about the order of that, it communicates knowledge, and you get that from Psalm 19. This is, again, that pattern. It's just DNA, you know, all through that in the Bible. It's pretty cool.
So I know a lot of that went by fast. Yeah.
This is, I read somewhere that numbers, or I heard it somewhere, and I don't remember the source, but numbers are nature's language. It's God's language that works for everything, because in nature,
computers too.
There's so many numbers in nature that, you know, the petals on flowers are counted, and all of that kind of stuff. That numbers are nature's language. Nature is God's language, and so it's how it's communicated. And I've never seen all of this either, other than like the numbers in the New Testament, Old Testament, 66 total. But it makes sense. The guy that put it all in there, that is what I'm wondering. Who was? And I know it was in the first one, but who was that that put it all in there?
Well, we're going to go back through that again here, because I know it went really quickly. But Stephen Langdon, Archbishop of Canterbury, is the one who, you know, they had had people that did chapters, but his version of them became universally used. And then again, if you're going back through history, he's also known for brokering the peace between King John and some rebellious barons with a document called, anybody?
Magna Carta.
There you go, Magna Carta. So Robert Stephanus was the one who rode the horse from Paris to Lyon and came up with the verse numbering system. It was used in the Greek New Testament. It was used in the French Bible, the Latin Vulgate, and it also was the Geneva Bible, being the first English Bible to have chapters and verses in it. So going back through that original video, this is kind of where some of that came from. So as we go through this, you know, this is where I'll stop for today. We'll get out of numbers and all kinds of mathematician stuff for next week, and we'll dive into John 3:16 itself. But again, I have always felt like that is the centerpiece of what the Bible is all about. But where we're going to go in addition to that with this series is those numbers, 3:16. What story and what journey do they take? So if you have time over the next couple of weeks, just go look them up. I mean, we're going to talk about them in the last week, but when you start looking at the 3:16s in the Bible, you start coming across things and you're like, wow, I would not have thought that was, you know, you go, well, I recognize that, and I recognize that, and that's pretty important. And it's really an amazing journey when you go, and all of it, in my mind, doesn't happen by chance. So next week, we'll go through John 3:16. Focusing on John 3, hopefully this was of some benefit and you didn't fall asleep, made you maybe think about you should have paid more attention in math class when you were in school. But, you know, we'll come back next week. Anybody have any quick questions before we end and go to announcements?
I found it funny, Langdon, what I was just telling her was the character's name in Da Vinci Code.
Yes, yes. All right.